Jackie is going to come and read to us and set the scene for the sermon about dreams.
The first part of the reading is from Matthew chapter 1 and the second from Matthew chapter 2. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. The second part of the reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. The escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. This is what was said through the prophet. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sorry.
Morning, everyone. Morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of Joseph, for what has been recorded about him. And may we learn from that and apply it to our lives today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So Christmas comes but once a year, so the saying goes. And you might be fooled today into thinking that this is a second Christmas with the Bible reading that we've just had. Well, why don't we have a bit of Christmas spirit and pretend that it is with a few cracker jokes, but warning that these may make you want to groan. So what do you get when you cross a snowman with a vampire? Frostbite. Thank you very much. What says oh, oh, oh? Santa walking backwards. Think about it. What do you call a deer that you can't see? No idea. How does good King Wenceslas like his pizzas? Deep pan, crisp and even, yeah. Okay, enough of that. Christmas comes with a lot of excitement and fun, and it's wonderful to think of the baby Jesus being born. A new birth is celebrated, the Prince of Peace is among us. So at Christmas we read from Matthew chapter 1 about the birth and chapter 2 about the wise men. We're so familiar with the story, the journey of these young parents, the birth of a baby, a stable, and there's a donkey, the sheep and shepherds and camels and mysterious wise men bringing gifts with significance. Maybe we'd love to hold on to this magical time and escape into a world of turkey and Christmas crackers. And so the Christmas readings stop at Matthew chapter 2, around about verse 11, when the wise men have given their gifts. And we're spared what is coming, which is far less pleasant. There's a hint of trouble to come, with a warning to the wise men not to return via King Herod. Something is afoot. A new baby does not seem much of a threat to anyone, surely. But for King Herod, it was exactly that. So let's think about Herod for a moment. He was not a mentally stable king. He was terrified of any competition. He had a vicious track record. During his reign, he had executed over half of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the people. He had put to death his own mother and his mother-in-law. Maybe not a bad thing, I don't know. And three of his own sons. This guy was unstable. So let's hold that ugly thought there and turn our attention to Joseph. How happy Joseph must have been. He was a carpenter, secure in his trade, in which he no doubt had great satisfaction. He'd found the love of his life in young Mary, betrothed to be married. Joseph had so much to look forward to. But Mary became pregnant, and Joseph knew it wasn't by him. Initially devastated, angry and confused. You can imagine the emotions he must have gone through. He had every right to have Mary exposed and disgraced in the culture in which they then lived. But we see the kind and generous side of Joseph. He would quietly end the betrothal. But this is where God dramatically breaks in through the first dream of a number of dreams we heard about that Joseph had. God reassured Joseph, "Do not be afraid." He tells Joseph to go on and to marry Mary, to make good the betrothal. And God tells Joseph that the baby is going to be very special. Of course, we're familiar with all of this. The baby is to be called Jesus, which means God saves. Jesus means God saves. This baby is going to save the people from their sins. And so this is the first of the dreams when God speaks to Joseph. Jesus is born, and we celebrate this event at Christmas year after year. But let's carry on and go deeper into Matthew chapter 2. And we shall soon depart from the turkey and Christmas crackers. We now have the second of Joseph's dreams, where God is once again giving Joseph reassurance, giving him direction, and through this providing protection. Herod's plan is revealed to Joseph in the dream. It should be no surprise to us now, having heard what we've heard about Herod, that he wasn't to have to have around a newborn child destined to be the king. Not in the way that Herod may have thought, though. But he didn't want any competition. This cruel man would have no problem at all in having killed all the boys in Bethlehem aged under 2 years old. God tells Joseph to escape to Egypt. And once again, Joseph is obedient to this revelation. A few years ago, when I was in Cairo, in Egypt, which has the biggest Christian minority in the Middle East, with something up to 10% of Egyptian people having the Christian faith in a predominantly Muslim country. And it's by no means easy for Christians in Egypt. They find that there are lots of laws and problems that they come against as they try to live their life. But they have survived now over 2,000 years. And in Cairo, there's a particular area called Old Cairo, and it's full of incredibly ancient church buildings, older than the oldest ones that we have in this country. And I was able to visit some of these, and in just about every one, there's a sign that tells the reader about the Holy Family being there. If people read the notice board, of course. So I really got in touch with this part of Jesus' life. I felt the reality that as a small child, as a toddler, Jesus had lived in this area. Even though I didn't quite believe that Mary had actually drawn water from a particular well by a particular church, a bit like Elizabeth I slept here, or that Mary had lived in a specific house by another church, but I was left with this sense of awe. The second half of Matthew's chapter 2 was bursting from the pages of the Bible to me. I was impacted by how God had protected his son Jesus by warning Joseph in a dream. I was impacted by how Joseph's obedience to God's warnings had saved Jesus' life as a child. The stakes were far higher than maybe Joseph had even managed to work out. We all know that Jesus did not stay in Egypt. When would it be safe for Joseph to take his family back? Certainly not while King Herod was alive. So we come to the third dream in which God speaks to Joseph. The angel of the Lord speaks to Joseph and tells him that those wanting to kill Jesus are now dead. It would be safe to go back to Israel. It was not that simple, though. When Herod had died, the kingdom had been split into three, each ruled by a different person. The south of the country, known as Judea, was ruled by Herod's son, Archelaus. And he was a bit of a chip off the old block and carried on his father's policies. So in a dream, the Lord warned Joseph not to go to Judea, but instead Joseph led his family to Nazareth in Galilee, to the north. We can really celebrate Joseph as the one who was obedient to God's direction. Joseph took to heart all that God had spoken to him. He obeyed God's instructions and he put them into action. The result was that God's eternal purposes could be worked out. Not just something happening at a particular place and a particular time, but a life that was going to change things in all places at all times. We don't hear any more about Joseph after this point, just apart from the fact that he and Mary went off on to have other sons and daughters. But Joseph's example is an inspiration to us to be attentive to God's voice. So let's think about how Joseph's dreams can apply to us today. Jesus was born into a time of great upheaval and uncertainty. The Roman occupation of his country was harsh. There was this unstable King Herod. The people of Israel had lost their independence. They were being taxed heavily. But God had a plan for his people and how they could change the world in the midst of all this that was going on around them. In Matthew's gospel, he's keen to show how Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus. In the dreams of Joseph, there are four prophecies that are being fulfilled in the events taking place. And in total, 351 prophecies from the Old Testament were fulfilled in Jesus. I find that absolutely staggering. 351 prophecies fulfilled in one purpose. So if you ever doubt who Jesus really was and is, just think how slim the probability is that 351 prophecies could come together in one person. This gives us confidence that Jesus really is God in human flesh, and that by following him, God's eternal purposes for the whole world continue to be fulfilled in you and me. And over the centuries, there have been troubles and uncertainties in every age, as there were in Joseph's time. These issues may change, and we only need to have listened to and been part of those intercessions this morning to realise that there are many issues going on in 2022, but also to be assured that God is still at work with his internal purposes. So whether it's pandemic, economic uncertainty, climate change, wars and threats of wars with Russia and Ukraine, we can be sure that God loves the world and he is not going to let us down. God had a plan to protect Jesus so that in all ages we will find a way through. There was upheaval for Joseph and his family. It was not an easy call at all. But just like Jesus, if we persevere through the uncertainty and listen to what God's telling us, then we too can be part of protecting God's purposes in the world and allowing them to advance. You and I are part of a bigger picture beyond what we can immediately see. We may never know how we've contributed to a plan that goes beyond ourselves. But the key to this is making decisions in our lives based on God's direction, whether they be everyday small decisions or bigger decisions. I can remember one when God spoke to us when Wendy and I lived near St Albans in Hertfordshire, and I was working in the Ministry of Defence then, and we'd had our two small children and our house didn't seem big enough, and we thought of moving to a cheaper area and capitalising on being able to buy a bigger house. So we found one that we liked, and it was immaculate, didn't need anything. anything doing to it really, and we were planning the move. But we'd gone for a walk in Verulam Park. I don't know if anybody's been there, in St Albans, lovely park with the lake in it. And I looked up at St Albans Abbey, the cathedral there, and God spoke to me, and he said, you can't leave this place. I really heard an inner conviction of God saying that. So Wendy and I discussed it, and we shared this with our vicar, and he came to pray with us about this decision to move. Then the very next day, we heard that the sellers of the house we were going to were pulling out. And so there we were. We stayed where we were. And it was in that place that, as time went on, I grew in my faith through ministries in that church, and then eventually heard the call to ordained ministry. If we try to navigate uncertainties in our own strength, then we can unwittingly cooperate with the Herods of this world. But being a Christian and going God's way is not always an easy way, but it's a better way. So next time you pull a cracker, remember that life is no joke. God has an eternal plan and purpose, and you are part of it. God wants to speak to you and to use you, just as he did with Joseph. So be alert to your dreams today and put God's direction into practice. Amen.